McGirt versus Oklahoma.
Yeah, the McGirt case is based on criminal law and the way those statutes I mentioned in the late 1890s and early 1900s that me and my crew decided, let's leave that alone for a future day. That's what we were concerned about, is we were going to, it leads from criminal law to eventually taxation and regulation. So let's just go ahead and start with regulation and taxation and stay away from criminal. So we reversed it when we in 1984, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. But in McGirt, there was actually some predecessor cases to that. But the Supreme Court of the United States, we all know, said, well, if you look at these criminal statutes and, you know, the treaties, the reservations were never disestablished for those purposes, not ownership. They didn't talk about ownership, but for criminal jurisdiction. I talked to some tribal or from guys from another tribe yesterday, and it was last night, yeah. And they're the Light Horse Police from Muscogee Creek. They were here to help our police set up a youth explorer program. We were talking about the impact it's had on the Muscogee Creek and other tribes over there, five civilized tribes and the Quapaw, on the cost of the administration of justice. Police, public defenders, prosecutors, jail. For those tribes, it's quite an expense. Most of them did not have that on their calendars to deal with. We have observed that at Osage, and we have taken we wanted to go down that road as well, but we're taking it in incremental steps by filing certain documents in other criminal cases that are not involved in the Osage Nation as friend of the court. In 2010, this is 13 years later, the nation lost a case, which I was not involved in the federal courts that said the Osage Reservation was disestablished. That was a tax case called the Irby, I-R-B-Y case. So we're trying to show the courts here, our lawyers, that Irby should not control, the broad language of Irby should not control all aspects of the questions of tribal jurisdiction, state jurisdiction, federal jurisdiction. Because there's so many lawyers, I'll just say it, I'm on the record, that's all right. There's so many lawyers involved in this stuff. It's like a cottage industry. And I have practiced law going on 10 years. But if I was, I'd have to jump in on this because, my gosh, I mean, it's billable hours, right? And it's, but here where I am, what I do, I'm thinking, I got to keep these legal costs down because I got preschool. I got 200 and some kids in preschools. I got elderly housing that we're trying to build. I got food programs for the elderly. I got over 1,000 Osages in scholarship programs where we pay up to $12,000 a year in their tuition and books. I've got almost 14,000 Osages on a health card. I've got 1,000 elders on a Medicare supplement we pay for. I mean, this is all money. It goes to good purposes. And I've been on that lawyer side, and I know how to fill out a billing statement and a timesheet. And I am suspicious, yes, of all lawyers who do work. If I see three lawyers billing us for a conference, they better have a darn good reason. They better be in front of a federal judge or a state judge or something if they're going to be three of them on the same damn case. But if they're sitting around reading a book about Indians, and I've actually seen bills that do that, where lawyers would bill the client, another tribe, not Osage, when I was practicing law, they would bill the client for reading books about Indians. I've seen some attorneys, big firms in Oklahoma and out of Colorado, send some of these tribes for 1 month's work, $300,000 bill. Do you know what we could do right now? Someone said, Chief, here's $300,000 cash. We decided not to, didn't have to spend it on the lawyers. I got a health clinic down here. Every time that interest rate, we're trying to finance it, goes up. It's costing us a fortune. So I'm not, that's why there's a blank space there. I got to figure out a way to build that clinic within the resources we have. But I tell you, lawyers and accountants and CPAs, God bless them. I've worked with them. I love the professions. But there's a serious greed problem going on in this country. And the Osage may be, as Renard Strickland pointed out, he goes, you need to look at Felix Cohen in the 1920s and 30s in Washington, D.C. He said, remember, the Native Americans are the miner's canary. Mm. He goes, Felix Cohen said that.
Wow.
Well, that's what I get. I have a front row seat to this. I'm watching what happened to the Osage with greed. And I tell you, in business in this country, and the lawyers and all the other professionals and the people, it's not about issues. It's too much. It's not about productivity. It's about greed.
Yeah.
That's my observation. It's not universal, but it's way, 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 way down that road.
And we talked about greed in Killers of the Flower Moon, and now we're talking about greed here just, today in 2023.
Just like the miner's canary.
Exactly.
We set the pace, and what happened to us can happen to anybody.